So our lectionary text for this week, as I said at the beginning of this little section of the lectionary, we're going to spend our time in Ephesians. And so what you're stuck with when it comes to Ephesians, once you get into Ephesians 4, is you're going to have to listen to me talk about spiritual gifts again. And as I've said before, this is an area that is quite close to me. It's something that I used to teach on when I was still teaching at the college. And it's one of those areas of the Christian life, of the life of the body of Christ, that I don't think it's possible to get to the end of. There's always something new there, for at least for me, to consider. And it's been a busy week, which is why the sermon title is about as open-ended as it can possibly be. I mean, let's talk gifts again doesn't tell you anything at all, really, other than that this is where we're going to be. But it's really worth it. When you think of it, Paul, who wrote a good portion of the New Testament, talks specifically about spiritual gifts in four of his letters, in Romans, in 1 Corinthians, in Ephesians, and then also, the last one is in Peter, not Paul. So in three of his letters, he talks about it, and there are ongoing allusions to these gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I think it's worthwhile for us to spend some time thinking about them off and on. And so we're going to do it again today. And the first thing to remind ourselves is that we all get gifts. It says right in verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And as Jean read it in the translation she used, each of us has been given a specific gift. I mean, it's pretty clear. And we often get the idea that spiritual gifts are just our talents, if you will, or our experience sort of writ large. Or that they're specifically devoted to the church. And the problem with that, of course, is that we tend to devalue our own talents. Often we don't see them for what they are. And talents and gifts are not necessarily the same. As a matter of fact, they're frequently quite different. And one of the challenges about spiritual gifts is that we might not know what ours is exactly, at least not at the beginning. It's clear from Scripture that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us at the time of conversion, when we move into that relationship with God through Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes at the same time. And the gifts that we're given come at the same time as well. The problem is that we might not recognize them as gifts at first. Spiritual gifts are an interesting thing. And they do have some similarities with sort of the natural talents that we have, or the things that come easy for us. Because one of the things that causes people frequently to discount their spiritual gifts is that they're not a lot of work for them. And that, unfortunately, isn't the best assessment tool you can give. Just because something's easier for you doesn't mean that it's easy for anybody else. And the fact that something's easy for you often means that it is something that you can give back to the community, whether it's a talent or an ability that you've assiduously worked to get to some level of achievement so you can then offer it. Or if it is a gift that comes from God, it's something that you have that you can provide. And the fact that you don't have to really work hard at it often is actually a better sign that it is a spiritual gift than that it isn't. There's this notion out there, and I understand where it comes from, and I can see how I could fall into it as well, as I'm sure we all do, that everything that we do for God should be hard. That it should be hard work, it should be obvious that there's at least some small amount of suffering involved. And I understand where that comes from. But thankfully, it's not true. Many of the things that we do for God aren't suffering at all. Playing with children, for example, is one of the gifts that we have that are given to us. And how do we raise children up so they're healthy and strong and all those things? Well, for a long time, like Grayson, we get to play with them. And that's exactly what we should be doing. You know, at 7 months, a lecture on anything is pretty much wasted time for a child. But playing peekaboo isn't. It teaches them all kinds of really great things, and it's just fun. Well, spiritual gifts frequently fall into this area of this is something that the Holy Spirit has put within us that we now are good at, that we can do without a great deal of work. this particular passage on spiritual gifts is a little bit, well, it's not that it's problematic. It's that Paul, in this particular letter, just the way the structure of the letter that we call the book of Ephesians was written, he was aiming at a particular kind of thing. So the list of gifts he has, where he says, it was he, that's God, of course, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. We look at that and we go, well, you know, for most of us, we're not any of those. Well, when we take all of Paul and Peter's writings on spiritual gifts, we get several different lists, and we bring them all together into one large list to the 26 or the 28 spiritual gifts that most people think are noted in Scripture. But there's no sense whatsoever that that list is exhaustive, that it covers every spiritual gift. And so with this list, which is short, it leaves out a lot of the things that really make the church work. I mean, he says that these things are all given to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. He's talking specifically about those gifts that are given to the whole body, like the local body, the community, to build them up. In other places, he talks about other gifts, gifts of giving, gifts of service, gifts of compassion, gifts of faith, other things that are far more well distributed through the church than any of these gifts are. It's a rare church, for that matter, that actually has an apostle. Some people think that gift is entirely gone. I'm not quite sure I agree with that. But most churches don't have an apostle in it because, well, we don't need apostles the same way they needed them 2,000 years ago. Most churches have someone with a prophetic voice. Some churches have an evangelist in them, but not all. Most churches, in fact, don't have someone with that explicit gift of evangelism. And every church has, well, just about every church has at least one pastor, and then some teachers, people who teach children, teach adults, both formally in Sunday school and things, but also informally in just helping us to understand what this text might mean or what God might have for this congregation. All of these gifts work together. And they work together so that we might be prepared for works of service and so that the body of Christ may be built up on earth. We all have these gifts. And one of the things about gifts is that it's okay to play with them. Sort of stretching it perhaps a little bit there, but if you're wondering if you have a spiritual gift, the only way to find out whether you do or not is to actually do something with it. If you think you have the spiritual gift of teaching, you should try teaching somebody. And if it doesn't work as well as you're expecting the first time, that doesn't mean that you don't have the gift. Because a lot of these spiritual gifts also become better with time, with experience, with training, with the feedback from the rest of the body. But the thing to remember is that you need to figure out what your spiritual gift is, not just so you can be happy to know you've got one, and so you know what it is, but because we need it. We need your spiritual gift. We don't want it. It wouldn't be pleasant for us to know that everyone's got a spiritual gift and we know what they are. We have to have your spiritual gifts. Paul is absolutely clear here. And Paul frequently uses the image of the body, on the one hand, to help us understand that spiritual gifts are what make that body work. And for all of us who have a body that one part of it is misbehaving at one time or another, we know exactly what it's like when one part of your body doesn't work very well. Whether it's something as easily addressed as, well, my eyes obviously aren't very good or I wouldn't wear glasses, but I can do something about that. If I don't, I've got a problem. Well, number one, I can't get here. If I don't have my glasses, I should not be driving. Not at all, not ever. Some days without my glasses, I'm not sure I should be allowed to walk around my own house, which I know fairly well. But some more significant things. If you need a knee replaced or a hip replaced, you know exactly how problematic that is. Every community, every church is the body of Christ. We're part of the larger body, to be sure. But this congregation is the body of Christ. And we need the gifts that each of us have. And it doesn't mean that your gift will necessarily be called on every Sunday or every moment of interaction with the people who attend Knox. But it means you need to be ready. You need to be aware of what it is that you have to offer. And I know this is hard for some people to believe, but you need to sometimes even sort of push your gifts forth for us. If you've got a gift of the prophetic voice for this congregation, and we're not talking about that ability to speak into things that will happen in the future. We're talking about God's call on this congregation for this time. If you have that prophetic word for us, we have to hear it so we know what to do. If you have that gift of faith, you're the one that keeps us going in a very real way when we have those moments of discouragement that every church does. I've never been in a church that thought it was doing everything right, that it had enough people, that it did enough outreach, all of those things. Every church has areas that it needs to grow in and feels that it needs to do more of. And your gift of faith that says we are God's people for this place, for this time, doing what God's called us to do, is what helps us to move forward. These aren't the kind of gifts that has you standing up here, preaching or teaching from the pulpit. But your gift is every bit as vital as mine. It took me a long time to realize that I had a gift of being a preacher as well as a teacher. Teaching's easy. Explain what somebody doesn't already know, and you're done. You've been successful. Preaching is a little more complex than that. Preaching means you have to listen to what the Holy Spirit has for this congregation. I learned how to become a preacher in various congregations so I could offer this to Knox Presbyterian. But it's easy for you. I can do it too, but it's probably easier for you to think that my gift is more important than yours, whatever yours is, but it's not. Every gift is critically important to the life of the church. This local body of believers, and as we fit into the greater church, the universal church, we might not think we have a huge part to play in Christendom, but we do. We have no idea what kind of influence we have. And we have no idea, as a body of believers on any particular Sunday, what words we say might encourage someone to say some words to someone else that might have a global impact. We don't know that it will, but we don't know that it won't. We get together that we might be the healthiest body of believers that we can be. We get together that we might enjoy the interaction of your gifts with mine and all of those things that create that sense that we are a community. And it's an open community where we can invite people in at any time. And we can enjoy the gifts that they bring. When we look at the end of this passage that we read, it helps us once again to remember that it's only through the exercise of the spiritual gifts that we all have that the church can be truly whole. Because verse 16 says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. And then the kicker, as each part does its work. We are all called to be part of this community. We're all called to be part of the larger church. We're all called to exercise those gifts that we have that makes this church everything it can be. And that's everything it can be from God's perspective, not ours. And that's one of the nice things about spiritual gifts. If I exercise what I've identified as my spiritual gifts, I am doing everything I can. And when I'm doing everything I can turn the results over to God, as can you. That we aren't called to do things that are impossible for us. We're called to do what God has equipped us to do and to do it as best we can in the power of that same Holy Spirit. So this morning, as we reflect at least a little bit on what our spiritual gifts might be, whatever those are, I pray that we will be encouraged to know that we each have them, that each of them are valuable, that it's okay to not know exactly what it is at this particular moment, because you might have a different gift at different times in your life. But to remember that we all depend on each other. In the same way that there's no part of my body that I don't need, and that every part of my body builds into my overall health, so it is with all of us. And the health of this body depends on all of us doing what God has created us to do. Exercise those gifts, that God might be glorified. Amen.